The Persian Gulf island of Bahrain holds legislative elections this month for the first time since a short-lived parliament was dissolved in 1975. The United States, which has been encouraging democratic reforms in the Middle East, will follow the elections closely. Other Gulf monarchies that are considering their own steps toward democracy also are very interested. NPR's Kate Seeley reports.
Esmet El-Moussawi is tackling one of her first challenges as a parliamentary candidate, what photos to select for her campaign posters. In some, she sports a white suit and a confident smile. In others, an elegant scarf covers her hair. Moussawi says she has to choose her posters carefully. Although she doesn't normally wear a veil, she says this largely Muslim society is very traditional, and some voters will respect her more if she dons a veil, or hijab as it's called here.
I might need the hijab, yes, especially in the very conservative areas.
Esmet is one of eight women among 189 candidates vying for office. They're the first women ever in the Gulf to participate in parliamentary elections. In Kuwait, the only other Gulf country with an elected legislature, Islamists dominate, and they've barred women from the political process. Esmet, a well-known newspaper columnist, says if a woman wins one of Bahrain's 40 parliamentary seats, it'll shake up the whole Gulf region.
It's like a man walking on the moon.
Bahrain's amended constitution guarantees women the right to vote and run for office. It's just one of the reforms initiated by King Hamad bin Isa Al Khalifa, who took over from his father in 1999. Since then, King Hamad has said he wants to transform this traditional emirate into a modern constitutional monarchy. He has addressed some of the demands of Bahrain's long disaffected Shiite Muslim majority for more rights in a state dominated by a Sunni ruling elite. He has lifted emergency laws, released political prisoners, and encouraged free speech. Most significantly, he decided to re-establish an elected parliament, an idea many initially welcomed here. But at a press conference last month, leaders of four political associations, among them the island's largest Shiite group, announced a boycott of the upcoming elections. Their main concern, they said, is a government decision to create a second house of parliament whose members would be appointed by the king. Critics say the second house could be used to block laws passed by the elected body. Abdul Jalil Asangesi, a spokesman for the Shiite Islamist group Al-Wafaq, says this system ensures that legislation unpopular with the government will never become law. Bahrain's experiment with democracy, he says, should not be endorsed because it's a sham.
It reflects nicely, but when you come to the real life, people cannot genuinely participate or play a democratic role.
But some here say it's wise to have what they call a system of checks and balances. In municipal elections in May, Islamists won most of the seats. Many expect the same to happen in the parliamentary elections. Abdullah Jamshir, who belongs to a liberal party, says he could imagine the worst if Islamists gain control of the legislature.
And they pass a law against, for example, women driving or women to go to work. It will be a lot of changes of the Bahrain society, which we don't want. To be unrest. Has this democracy, say, benefited us as a society? No.
For these reasons, analysts say, the government advocates a process of gradual democratic reform, one which they say will give people a chance to learn how to practice democracy responsibly. Esmet El-Moussawi acknowledges that if elected, she won't have the influence she would like to have, but at least she says she will finally bring a woman's perspective to politics in the Gulf. Kate Seeley, NPR News, Manama, Bahrain.